I would like for you to turn to the person next to you, so this can go either way, and tell them you look great today, okay? Our expressions are looking really good now. How many of you that made you feel really good? Like they said you looked great. Like, wow, that was something. Just a few, right? You had to do it, so it didn't really mean a lot, right? Why don't you do this? I want you to pinch the person next to you. Brothers, be careful, okay? Nice. Now, everybody was somewhat gentle because nobody screamed. The place of feelings in a believer's life. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Fully alive. Feelings. What do we do with our feelings? Our family just recently was on a trip to Minnesota. This was going to be about a 10-day trip. It ended up being a 2-week trip. We were going to leave our place in Redding and head to Minnesota and spend some time up there. My parents, my older sister live up there, and I had a niece getting married, and they also have good fishing up there, so we're going to take some time to do some fishing, so that's going to be our trip. Well, we left 2 days early because a dear friend of our family's passed away of cancer in northern Indiana, so we left a couple days early, stopped in Indiana, we're there for a funeral, and that was a sad time. And brings up a lot of memories especially for my wife and for our family, because less than 2 years ago, her mother passed away from cancer. And to see the children who were, my wife and my age, grieving the loss of their mother, that's hard. So we spent a few days there, and then we went to Minnesota. And we get up to Minnesota, and we get to go fishing. And so that was a lot of fun. And then there's a wedding, and weddings are exciting, right? So that was an exciting time. So lots of good feelings there. Well, while we're there in Minnesota, my wife's aunt passed away of cancer out in Oregon. And again, we knew she had cancer, but just went downhill really quickly. And so my wife and I bought tickets out of Minneapolis. Left our boys with my parents in northern Minnesota, and we flew out to Oregon for a funeral. And that funeral was, again, a very difficult one, partly because it was my wife's mother's youngest sister. So less than 2 years after Renita's mother passes away, her younger sister passes away, and now 3 of the 6 children have all died of cancer. And again, leave children behind, and what a hard time. And I'll still remember this picture from that trip to Oregon. Is after we were at the gravesite, and they had put the casket in the ground, and it had covered it, and then we laid flowers on there. And her husband just came and knelt down there and was just crying, and kind of his last time right there. Renita's father, who would be a brother-in-law, came up to him and just stood there with him, and then they just embraced and just cried and cried. That's touching because you can see here's two men who've just done this, and that's hard. You come to times like that, and you don't like those times. You don't look forward to those times, and what do we do with our feelings at times of losses like that? Why am I going to preach about this today? Many Christians don't know what to do with their feelings. And many times we've got feelings that aren't good. And if we can steel ourselves or harden our hearts so we don't feel the pain, I'm just going to tough it up. I'm just going to walk away from that gravesite, and I'm just going to go on because life's got to continue, and she's in heaven. It's going to be okay. We're just going to be okay. We're just going to be all right. And so we don't want to feel like that. But God gave us feelings. And if we don't allow our hearts to feel, we're actually not able to love God with all our hearts. If we shut our hearts to pain, our hearts also get shut down to joy. I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This is the triumphal entry. And so this is basically going to be our text here this morning. And where I want to jump in on this story is in verse 35 through 46. Verse 35 to 46. And you can look at it if you just want to check and make sure things are right. I'm just going to tell you the story, and then I'm going to give you four words that tell us what to do with our feelings. Okay? Four words that tell us what to do with our feelings. This is the triumphal entry. Jesus has sent some of his disciples on ahead, told them where to go, and they're to get a colt. And if the man asks you, what do you want? They say, your master has need of it. And so they bring it, and this is the triumphal entry where Jesus is entering in to Jerusalem, and this is coming up to the crucifixion here. As Jesus is riding on this colt, this donkey, into Jerusalem, the disciples and the people around him are all excited. And it gets really loud, okay? So they're casting down garments and waving palm branches and saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And this is so loud and so exciting that the Pharisees don't like it. All right? Now, if there is a parade, and I know Jesus didn't set up a parade, but in our world today, this is kind of what it looked like, is the parade. People along the ways throwing things in front of them, and here comes Jesus, disciples following him. And so it's an exciting time, and the Pharisees don't like this. They don't like all this noise, and Jesus is getting all this attention. So they want to shut him down. So picture a parade where somebody important is coming through town and the crowd gets really excited and somebody wants to shut them down. So how are you going to do that? Well, you know, do you go over a loudspeaker and tell them to be quiet? Well, that didn't work. They're too loud. So this is what they do. They go to Jesus, the Pharisees do, and they're like, okay, ho, time out here. Tell these people to be quiet. Now, I don't know if you ever thought through this picture, but picture that in your mind, okay? I mean, maybe if you do a parade in Wilmersdorf and maybe Bryce Harper came to town, okay, and people would get, or Carson Wentz or Ben Simmons. Oh, they burned jersey of Ben Simmons. Okay. Anyway, somebody important here in Minnesota in Pennsylvania were in a parade and everybody's excited and like, oh, this is too loud. So you go to the star of the show, the person that this excitement is about, and say, you know what, can you tell your fans to quiet down? Like, how bizarre is that? You know what Jesus does? It's like, well, I could. But if they quiet down, the rocks are going to start crying out. Up to you. Now, that's not quite the words he used, but that's what he said. I can tell them to be quiet, but if they stop their rejoicing and they're celebrating, the rocks are going to cry out. The Pharisees look around like, no, 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 there's a lot more rocks in this area. This wouldn't be good. Okay, go ahead. And they let it go. What Jesus did right there is he put his stamp of approval, his blessing on their feelings of joy and excitement. This was a time to celebrate. And I'm not going to tell them to be quiet now. They go on into the city, and I wonder if you knew this part of the story. They go on into the city, and as they're coming in, Jesus stops and he beholds Jerusalem. And guess what it says he does? He weeps. He cries. He looks over Jerusalem and he knows what's going to come. And he looks down the road in history and what enemies are going to do to the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus weeps for Jerusalem. Jesus then goes into the city and goes into the temple And what does he see? He sees that what's supposed to happen is this. My house will be called a house of prayer to all nations. And they've made this thing into a green dragon, to a marketplace, a bazaar. And it's like, he gets angry. He feels. He gets angry and he drives the money changers out of the temple and throws their tables over and so on. He's angry at what's going on. Did you know that all that happened in just one space here? Jesus had feelings of joy, excitement. Jesus had feelings of pain, of sadness, and he cried. And he had feelings of anger. And he did all of that without sinning. I wonder this morning if you are able to feel joy, pain, and sometimes anger appropriately. I wonder if your heart is alive, these different feelings here. Jesus was a man of feelings. And we are to be too. In fact, when we as Jesus followers have shut down our hearts because we don't want to feel, and we get scared of all the feely-feely people out there and how that leads to being Pentecostal and that type of stuff. I'll talk about that in a moment. And we just kind of put a mask on and we just go through life and everything's okay. You know what? When we do that, we're a very bad testimony. That is not an inviting to anybody. It is not a testimony for Jesus. Because God's a God who created us with feelings. And when you can feel joy, when you can feel pain, that's how he intended for us to be. Live with feeling to keep your heart fully alive. I want you to read that with me together. Live with feeling to keep your heart fully alive. Do it again. Live with feeling to keep your heart fully alive. According to Webster's Dictionary, feelings, the definition that I'm using this today is the capacity to respond emotionally. The capacity to respond emotionally. So that's the sense I want to talk about feelings today. The capacity to respond emotionally. My son was playing out in the snow. It wasn't last week. A few winters ago. I still remember him running inside, crying. His hands were all red. He's like, my hands are cold, Dad. And he's crying. And he didn't like what he felt. But you know what? We're glad he had feelings. Because if he kept on playing and he didn't feel that his hands were cold, that would be trouble. My son, Riley, and this has been several years ago, we were living in Thailand. One day his foot started hurting him. Bottom of his right foot started bothering him. And so I looked at it. It maybe looked just a little bit red, but nothing distinct. And like, okay, so just kind of take it easy. So he'd take it easy and didn't play too much sports at school or whatever, and kind of took it easy at home. And it seemed to be okay. And, we had a 5K coming up that we're going to run in, a run for Burma where they raise money for Burma every year. And so we go run in this 5K. And it bothered him enough that he didn't go and run with me and the other boys in this. And like, okay, it's really bothering him. But like, I wonder what's why. The next evening, in a matter of about 30 minutes, we looked at it. Oh, yeah, it's hurting him. Like, what should we do? But you couldn't see anything. It's like, is there any pus, any infections, anything? In a matter of 30 minutes, all of a sudden, it's like there was a red spider there. It's like, wow, something's bad. So we took him into the emergency room, and the doctor's like, yeah, there's an infection in there. And what had happened is they do all sorts of things barefoot all the time in Thailand. So they're running around barefoot, and Riley gotten a blister on the bottom of his foot, and it had healed closed, and there was some dirt in there, and it got infected. And so what the doctor had to do was numb it, thankfully, and then cut it open, and then take the infection, clean it out, and then he had to keep it open for a while. He packed gauze in there so it wouldn't heal shut, And then every day we had to go back in there for a while and take it out and repack it to make it get better. The most painful thing I've seen any of my kids go through is that unpacking and repacking. So much pain, but we're so grateful he had pain, or he ends up losing his foot. Wow. Today, many Christians don't feel. In fact, some Christians, and I don't know if any of you are here this morning, some Christians look at their feelings as carnal. I won't ask for a raise of hands. You're not feeling anything now anyways, if you would. We don't want to feel. That'll be emotionalism, right? Sometimes we think of our feelings like wisdom teeth, something we can do without. And I'm doing fine without mine. Wisdom teeth, by the way. We think we can do without them. But Jesus felt. And Jesus told us that the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's your feelings are involved in that. Your mind is, or your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And how can you love God with everything if you don't feel? So what I'm going to give you is four C words today to help you know how do I deal with feelings? What do I do with them? Okay? Four C words to help us know how to deal with our feelings. Let's just read this together again before we move on. Live with feeling to keep your heart fully alive. Let's do it again. Live with feeling to keep your heart fully alive. So the first thing that we do with feelings is we cry. We cry over losses. So when there is pain, when there is loss, you've got to cry. You've got to feel it. And here's where many of us go wrong is when there's pain, it's like, just tell me it's okay. So when you stand by somebody who's lost a loved one, oh, it's okay. She's in a better place. It's going to be all right. You know what? Those all may be true, but right now's the time to cry because there's a great loss they're feeling. Maybe somebody has said something very unkind to you. And there's deep pain in your heart. Oh, it's okay. They didn't mean it. We're just going to go on. You know what? When we just cover up our pain, what happens to us, our hearts, is the same thing that happens to a wound that gets covered up without being dealt with properly. It gets infected, and later on, it causes us problems. If we don't cry over our losses, if we don't grieve when we've been hurt, when there's real pain, bad things are going to happen. Bitterness is going to come out later. Anger is going to come out. We need to cry over pain and losses. You know, when Jesus went to the garden and he cried, he didn't toughen up like, it's going to be okay. Oh, look through it. You're going to rise again. It's going to be all right. No. Jesus, knowing what's ahead and then what's even beyond that, he still cried. He didn't toughen up. He felt. When you shut down your heart to pain, like I don't want to feel pain. When you shut down your heart to pain, you shut down your heart to joy. You see, we can't harden our heart to some feelings and yet feel others. So if there's a difficult thing that happens in your life, you need to cry. You need to mourn that loss. Very important. Sometimes we're told, you know, toughen up. Don't toughen up. Cry. God created us as people with feelings. Cry over the losses. Fortunately, not everything's losses. There's victories. There's good things that happen in life. What do you do with them? You celebrate the victories. We cry over the losses. We celebrate the victories. When good things happen, we need to rejoice. We need to feel it. Now, this one comes natural. This one comes easy, right? Unless we have already started shutting our heart down to pain, then we're going to struggle to celebrate the victories. But we need to celebrate the victories. I'm not going to go into stories There's a story in Acts 11 that talks about this, where the people celebrated with Peter what was going on. For sake of time, I'm not going to go into that. But when good things happen, celebrate. We know that one, right? I don't need to expound on that. Anybody wrestle with that one? Nah, it comes pretty easy, right? Okay, we're going to move on. Cry over the losses. Celebrate the victories. And then our third C word this morning is choose to do right. Choose to do right. Now, why do I throw this one in here? Why do I, you know, this isn't attached to any feelings, okay? Now, the feelers around us, how many of you know somebody that's a really feely person? Like, you can always tell how they're feeling because that's exactly how they're acting. Any of you know somebody like that? A couple people, a couple honest people in here, right? Any of you are that? No, you don't have to raise your hand, right? You could tell how they're feeling because they just act out of it. And you hope that they got up on the right side of the bed so they're feeling good today, right? And when things are bad, you know, it's just going to be really bad. And so we're like, I don't want them to hear this message, because now it's like, see, I can act exactly how I feel, right? Well, where feelers go wrong is when they follow their feelings. Let's just take a moment, let this soak in, okay? Where feelers go wrong is where they follow their feelings. And our feelings just lead us. I've heard this said recently, and this is a great picture. Your feelings aren't the engine on the train. They're the caboose. Don't unhitch the caboose. But it needs to follow along behind. And there is a fitting time when we are to cry and we feel. We're always to feel, but we don't always follow the feelings. There's a fitting time to cry. There's a fitting time to celebrate. We need to choose to lead our feelings. We choose to do right. And no matter how we feel, it's always right to do right. Amen? We still choose to do right. No matter how much of a feely person I am, I'm still responsible for my actions. I still need to choose to do right. And, you know, the last time that I was here at Wilmersdorf, I believe was for the memorial service for Chris Sensenig. And that wasn't a time to celebrate. And I felt sadness. And how do I act? You act in sadness because it's right. So my feelings within my heart were sad. Did I follow them? No, you still choose to do right. Our feelings aren't always going to be right. Okay? I didn't like it that I got here to church this morning like 12 minutes later than what I was going to be here. And how I felt wasn't that good. But I had to tell myself, don't act on those feelings. Maybe the Lord's just saying, let's get a personal illustration right here, right there, all right? Do I get upset? Get out the door? No. Choose right. It's always right to be patient. And praise God this morning I did. Wow. You can pray for me because I don't always choose right. But that's what we do. Even though we are to feel so that our hearts remain fully alive, we still choose right. So we cry over losses. We celebrate victories. We choose right. And there's one more word for us. One more C word that I want to give you. Actually, let me give you a couple illustrations of how Jesus felt and then acted. And look at these here in Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitudes, he's moved with compassion because they fain were scattered abroad. Jesus had feelings. Can you feel? By the way, maybe there's a few of you here this morning that need this message because you have heart in your heart because of the pain in your life, because of past. Whatever it has been, whether it's been abuse, whether it's been rejection, whatever it may have been, and you've hardened your heart, that's not a healthy way to live. and you want to go back and deal with the pain, just like my son needed his foot to be opened up so it could heal. You've got to deal with the pain that we've just buried so that we can be healthy and live accordingly. Jesus felt. He was moved with compassion. Mark 14. Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude moved with compassion, and he healed their sick. Again, Jesus, a man of feelings, in Mark 1. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, said, I will, be thou clean. That was Jesus hearing somebody say, hey, you know, heal me. And Jesus came out, saw much people moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus was a man of feelings. Are you this morning a man or a woman of feelings? That's how God created us to be. That's how God created us to live. To live with feelings. One more C word for you. And that's this. We champion God's glory. We champion God's glory. When Jesus, the end of the story that we looked at in Luke 19, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, you know, so we have the celebrating, then we have crying, and then he gets to the temple, and then he's angry. So what's going on there? Why was Jesus angry? We know he didn't sin. He was angry because of what they had done to the temple. And what was supposed to be a place of worship and a place to honor God, they've made it in a place where they were taking advantage of the people. And Jesus got angry because they were robbing glory from God, using it for their own benefit, for their own profit. There are times where we should be angry, whether it's at sin or whether it's wrong that's being done. But it should only be that we're championing God's glory. Jesus felt strongly. That was a time where he felt anger and he acted on it, and it was right. There'll be a few times where you and I can do that. This morning wouldn't have been a time to do that. You know, for me to turn the van over and get all angry because we're late. No, that wouldn't have worked, right? We're to champion God's glory. In how we act, it's to champion God's glory. And by the way, when we choose right, in spite of how we feel, and we choose right so that we champion God's glory, our feelings will keep following us. And they'll get on board with what they should be. Just say this with me. Live with feeling to keep your heart fully alive. Say it again. Live with feeling to keep your heart fully alive. I wonder if there's any pain in your life that you have suppressed or buried and haven't dealt with it. God is a God who created us with feelings. And when there's been pain, not that God wanted you to have the pain, but the pain helps us know something's wrong. This wasn't right. I need to mourn this. I need to deal with this. I'll close with this. Just two nights ago, my wife and I sat with Pastor Daryl and our deacon Kevin from Family Harvest, and we're in our living room and just had a time of talking, sharing, and it was a good evening. So they were just, you know, going over our applications for membership there at Family Harvest, and you know, this is kind of a, not a light thing, but it's an easy thing to do, and it was a really good time of sharing and connecting together. And as we were talking and sharing, they asked some questions about our past, and just being very brief, in the past couple of years we've gone through some real pain, and my wife and I were able to talk about these things and to answer some difficult questions. And there wasn't anger. There wasn't bitterness. And it actually was a really healthy time. And I'm convinced the only reason we could do that is because we had spent a lot of time throughout the pain crying and asking for help. And there were many times that when we were in pain, there were feelings of anger and bitterness. And I'm confident that we would be angry and bitter today had we not properly grieved losses and dealt with it. Every one of us today, I'm sure, already have and will continue to have difficult times in our life, have extreme losses. It's very important that we learn to grieve the losses, to deal with it, so that we can also celebrate victories, so that we can choose right and champion God's glory. I have no idea why God laid this on my heart for you all this morning. But I pray that God will speak to your hearts so that if there's something you need to go back and open up and take care of properly so that you can feel again, do it. There are fitting times to cry. There are fitting times to celebrate. And through it all, we choose right so we can celebrate God's glory. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, you know the hearts of each one here today. You know we live in a broken, fallen world, and we face hard things. We get hurt. We hurt others. And God, what do we do with our feelings? And Father, the temptation is so real for us just to try to toughen up and to harden our hearts so we don't feel pain or loss or rejection. And yet, when we harden our hearts will be hardened to you also. Our hearts will be hardened to the joy. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to understand how you're a God of feelings, and you wept, and you celebrated, and you still chose right, no matter how you felt. I pray that we would be a people who would live like that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.